Hey there, I'm Jen Therrien, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm a former 9-to-5-er that dove into entrepreneurship 8 years ago with zero business experience. I'm a wife, mama of two young girls, boutique owner, jewelry designer, and now the proud owner and coach leading Goldie Link's Permanent Jewelry. I have a passion to empower fellow business babes. This podcast is made to equip you with everything you need to succeed, from actionable marketing steps to digging deep on your mindset. I know firsthand the heart, hard work, and let's be real, at times a struggle that makes up this amazing journey. You want to know what has enabled me to shine the brightest? Coaching plus community. Here at Goldie Links, we share openly, educate, and lift each other up. Expect to get linked with fellow PJ owners that will do just that, sprinkled with plenty of fun along the way. Competition is an old school thought, and connection is the way. Get ready to feel inspired. Welcome to the Goldie Links podcast. Hey, it's me. I'm going to jump in here real quick. Did you know you can have your own Goldie Links business? If you've been dreaming about having a successful permanent jewelry business, but you don't know where to start, or you have a permanent jewelry side hustle and want to take it to the next level and be a part of something bigger, then I would love to connect. Just go to beagoldiegirl.com, submit your info, and we can see if this is a good fit for you. So it's beagoldiegirl.com, beagoldiegirl.com. Now back to the show. I am sitting down with Angelique from Peach Lane Permanent Jewelry today. We're actually physically sitting down together. She's here in the Denver area. We met at a networking event last year. She's actually a speaker at PJX. She was last year as well. We're going to talk today, and I learned so much personally about how she grew her business, her physical location she has for permanent jewelry solely off of Google. Talking about strengthening your Google profile, SEO, and also we're going to dive into a little bit of when you want to add an employee and what classification to make that employee and what is the best route for you. So just sit down, grab your tea, your coffee, your wine, and dive into this amazing, informative conversation with Angelique. I'm here with Angelique. She has a permanent jewelry business here in the Denver area with me, which is why she's here with me physically, if you can't see this. Why don't you tell us about yourself, how you got into permanent jewelry, just anything you want us to know.
Okay. Well, it's funny because I tell people this is a total change from what I was doing. My entire life has been built on payroll, HR. I've always been back of house. I've been part of the corporate ladder, and a few years ago, I realized I needed to work a little differently.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with the permanent jewelry. I love the bonding experience, mm-hmm. the meaningful moments that it celebrates. And I knew that had to be where I had to be.
Yeah.
So that's when I started permanent jewelry. I bought my welder from Sunstone in August of 2022. I jumped right on it.
That's so cool. Yeah. So do you have any like jewelry experience prior to that? Or did you, you know, were you a jewelry lover?
Little odds and ends. You know, I've beaded necklaces here yeah. and there. You buy the craft kits from the stores.
Yeah.
Back in high school, though, I did take a jewelry making class. And we bezel set gemstones into rings and a lot of really fun. So we had the powerful, the real soldering, welding yes. tools with the torque and the flux and the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. So we were manufacturing jewelry back then. And that was a lot of fun. I do not do that now.
Tell us kind of in the beginning when you were getting started, like how did you think into that you were going to like start this business and grow it? Like what were your first steps?
My first steps was, oh boy, I laugh because I learned how to do the permanent jewelry by welding. I sat there for hours opening and closing jump rings until I had that down.
Yes.
And I was welding the jump rings until I had that down. And then I was putting chains on salt shakers, water bottles, bean bags, anything that I could think of that was like an arm without being an arm because
right.
I was working with a welder and then my son and then my friends and then I was ready to go. So I tried reaching out to boutiques and salons and places like that right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. And I was met with a lot of resistance at first.
People really?
Did not know what permanent jewelry was.
Yes.
So the first 6 months I was in business, I thought, anybody who starts permanent jewelry after me, you're welcome because I've laid the groundwork.
Right.
I was running ads before people knew what this was in Colorado.
Yeah. Was,
and then it grew fast from there.
That's awesome. Yeah. So the ads, like that's kind of what you feel like took it off a little bit was ads, or when do you feel like it kind of sped up?
I had some small traction. I had ads did not bring me anything.
Okay.
Honestly,
okay.
In Facebook, ads did not bring me any new customers.
Okay.
I met a few people at some pop-up markets. Mm-hmm. They got some ideas and shared that, like, I had some gift cards purchased, and that got the ball rolling just a little bit. The big thing was when people started learning about what permanent jewelry was. I think the trend mm-hmm. was happening in other places, and people were seeing it online, and then they started looking for places in the area.
Okay.
And started finding me that way. It was a slow snowball.
Okay.
At first.
So you do have a place where you, it's kind of like a co-working space, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I rent monthly.
Yeah. So when did that start? Did you do that right from the beginning?
Almost. It was about 2 months in. I had a hard time finding pop-ups aside from craft fairs and markets. And I knew I needed to be doing way more than that. So I thought, what if I had a place where people could come to me? Because sometimes people don't want to have a party.
Yes, I know.
What if I had a place people could come to me? So then I made a small commitment to have a place where I could just meet customers, and I would pop up only when I had appointments. Mm-hmm. And then it grew from there.
So do you still do like pop-ups and parties, or do you focus on more just like being at your place of business? You
know what I mean? Still do everything.
Okay.
But I'm still a one-person shop. So
yeah.
It's me. I do all my own pop-ups. I do my own parties. I do my own stuff. But most of my business is in person.
In the shop.
That's
cool. And that's why I think it's cool. Like your background, though, I feel totally plays into your strengths now as a business owner, like what your strengths are. So Angelique is like teaching at PJX, which I actually wasn't even familiar. I went to PJX last year and I obviously missed her classes. And we met after PJX, like physically at a networking event, like in the fall, maybe last year. Mm-hmm. So yeah, tell us what you are teaching, first of all, your classes you're teaching, and then we can like play into that with her. And I feel like your past plays into that.
It totally does. Okay. So last year and this year, I'm bringing back the same topic of how my customers find me on Google.
Yes.
And that was the steps I took to create a physical presence and a way that people could search for permanent jewelry and find me as a business. So I taught that last year, and that was my very first, not even quite full year into business.
Wow.
But I had grown quite a bit in that amount of time.
Yeah.
So I had some stories and I had some lessons and I had some processes I was able to share last year.
Yeah.
I'm bringing it back this year because there are a lot of new people who are starting into the business, who are starting in their online presence.
And
I have some tools. Some of them still apply. A lot of them still apply. I'll be teaching that again this year. And I'm also going to teach on hiring your first employees versus contractor, and categorizing your employees correctly so you tax them properly.
Okay. So where do we dive in first? So I was actually talking to Andy about this earlier. So people ask, why go to PJX if I went last year? And one of the reasons is I totally missed your class. Like there was so many classes, and I was diligently going to classes like every hour. So, and I still missed your class. So, and also too, at the time, like maybe you were focused more on social media when you went last year, and you realize, again, we always want to keep like improving our business in every way. Right. 100%. So even like, I'm to the point where actually, funny enough, I now am getting into like the Google thing and maybe some more SEO for my website and figuring that out. Whereas last year, I really had no interest in that. I was focused more on growing my social, which I feel like I'm at a good place with that. I'm consistent, it's kind of systemized-ish that I like, okay, now I want to move on to something else I could focus on that I want to strengthen. Because I feel like we can do it all, but not all at once kind of thing, right?
Yes.
So it's funny because you went, so what made you go the Google route versus like we were speaking before we started doing the recording, is a lot of people go right to thinking marketing means social media. And it's almost like websites or Googles, even though we Google things all day long, that are almost like old school for businesses. Mm-hmm. Like and at least depending on what generation you're from, maybe possibly, or what, and even what location you are. But why did you go that route first?
Well, I do have a little bit of dabbling in the e-com space, knowing that Google is a powerful search engine for products.
Yes.
So I kind of knew that already. But just like other entrepreneurs in the space, knowing the trending is on TikTok and social media, I started there first.
Okay.
I invested there first.
Okay.
And then I hired a big business coach because I wasn't getting a lot of traction. And she said, shut off your ads. And I was like, what? The dread in my face and in my body. I was like, how am I going to get customers if I turn off my ads?
Yeah.
And I was like, I was seriously, seriously not sure what I was going to do. But I found someone that helped me strengthen my Google profile and strengthen my website and my SEO, and I became searchable.
Wow.
I knew that was going to be a really great tool, and it's
totally free.
That's, yeah.
Yes.
You can tell me how much time, I guess, you spend, because you know more, you know way more about it than I do. But, you know, with social, you feel like you have to constantly be updating. Like, you know, there is kind of that pressure of like being really consistent, right? So once you set up your Google profile and all the things to optimize, is there, how much work is involved in like kind of keeping that up, I guess?
There's not a lot.
Really?
There's not a lot.
Yeah.
You answer messages and questions that come through your profile from time to time. There aren't a lot that come through.
Yeah.
Especially if your website answers all the questions. Mm-hmm. There's regular updates and posting just to make sure you're logging in.
Kind of keeping, yeah.
And it's like social media too, mm-hmm. where as long as you're posting updates on your profile, you can,
yeah.
you can put updates every single day on your Google profile. Just a quick shout out, like here's where I am this week, or extended hours, or closures for the holidays, any updates about your business you're posting regularly.
Photos
of okay. your setup that day,
yeah.
customers, anything. And it's really simple.
Okay.
And it doesn't take a ton of effort. You don't even have to think a whole lot about it, but yeah. that geographical data that's in those photos help.
Okay. So let's talk about scenarios. Say you
yeah.
have a Google profile, but you don't need a location to have a Google profile. Right?
Right.
Okay. So this is like literally like Google 101. I'm like, so.
You do have to have a registered and legitimate business.
Google okay.
is going to confirm that with the Secretary of State or okay. whoever the governing body is, wherever that business resides. But you do have to have a registered business.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if they require a FEIN or not, but they are going to verify your okay. identity
okay.
with the state.
And then what if you don't have a location? Does that affect like the search at all, or you know what I mean?
It can a little bit, but there are some things you can do. You can set a service radius, not even just in the permanent jewelry business. If you were a plumber, you
right.
could say, I service from this town to this town, and you can have this radius and you can tell it zip codes and,
right.
and all these little things. And that means sometimes when you're looking for a plumber, you might find someone that's 40 minutes away, but
yes.
they service your area because
right.
they've become searchable and they've created that service area in Google.
Okay.
Another thing I've learned is when you're taking photos at pop-ups and destinations, even networking events, wherever you mm-hmm. are, take photos that are relevant to your business and upload them into your Google profile. That data, if you're taking them with your phone, you have the geocoders that create that longitude and latitude embedded in your photo data.
Okay.
If you upload those to your Google profile, Google will see you posting stuff from your business at these various locations. It helps you become more searchable in those areas.
Very cool. You obviously can have a Google profile with even not having a website. Do you need a website?
It's better.
Okay.
Google does scan your website for
okay.
keywords that are relevant mm-hmm. to the things people are searching for.
Okay.
And they're going to show your business. If it relates to the things someone's searching for, they're going to show your business more often
okay.
if you have a lot of relevant information. So having
right.
a great website with proper headlines and keywords mm-hmm. and things all over your website that tell Google this is what you do.
Right.
When people are searching for this thing, they're going to find you.
And then really those keywords, I guess, would be more like obviously talking about the fact that you do permanent jewelry, maybe like listing your location, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, are those going to be the basics there, I guess, for when you say keywords?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You're talking about keywords like what you do, the products you sell,
okay.
the services you provide.
Okay.
If somebody is looking for a massage and you have massage on your website and you have in various
yeah.
forms, in your blogs, in your product offerings, in your
yes.
descriptions, in your about me, you're talking about how you use massage to help your customers.
Right.
Google's going to pick up on that information and say, oh, this website mentions massage. Here, I'll show this to this customer that's looking for a massage.
Right.
So
okay.
having that information on your website is really important.
So do you update your website a lot?
I do. Right now, my products are pretty stable. So I haven't been uploading new products and new content,
yeah.
but I do update a blog.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have new, fresh information that's out there that
yes.
is relevant to the topic. And
so what do you say, how many of your customers percentage-wise are finding, because I know you do have social media. You have social media, but again, it's not, I guess, can I say it's not your main focus? Would you say that?
It's not my main focus.
Okay, yeah.
I want to stay out there and stay connected. It's a way to stay connected to the community for
yes.
me. It's not my main customer acquisition
right.
method.
So. So yeah, what would you say your percentage of your customers come from, Google versus social?
I would say 99%.
Really?
Google.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
I had one or two from social.
Because it's like totally the opposite for me. Totally, and that's what's so interesting.
That's wild.
I know.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I think sometimes we get stuck in thinking like business has to be done this way when really there is so many ways to do it. And if you're not somebody who, there's plenty of people that don't really want to show up on social. It's not their thing. Like, I mean, I'm meeting more young people that are warding off social media. Like I'm surprised by it. Cause if I see like my QR code sign, I'm like, oh, are you on Instagram? Like that's my first go-to, you know, follow me on Instagram. But then they're like, oh no, I'm not on social. I'm like, okay, well I have a website too, you know, which again, I try to keep updated. That's why it is important to have both. Cause I think some people don't even, like, I think a lot of people going to permanent jewelry don't think right away to have a website, you know, which is fine. I think it's something you can add on, you know, you have to start somewhere, but it's kind of a second thought, really.
So. I think one thing that might separate us, you get a lot of business from social media, but you've done other businesses before this.
Yeah.
You probably had a really well-networked profile on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I was a payroll person. Nobody cared what I had to talk about. So I didn't do a lot of social media. I was before I got into the business side of social media, I said, I'm a stalker. I just go in and I watch what other people are doing. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Nice to catch up.
There's all different social, like, they should have like this, like, personality types of people that do social media, because my husband's the same way. He'll never like anything. He'll never comment, but he's scrolling. He's looking at your stuff guaranteed, but you would never know. Like,
never,
you know,
exactly.
He never says anything.
And that was me before my business.
He never posts himself. But yeah, I think that you're right. It's funny. I have to take that into account. I forget that because I did have an existing customer base, which obviously helped me. Mm-hmm. And even like so far, the permanent jewelers I've talked to, it's like everyone has a place to start of whatever. My one girl who's now in Goldie Links, she had such a great network of people here because she also was part of like a network marketing group that's really supportive. So she had so many pockets of friends because she grew up in Colorado and like she had more of a resources. So like to kind of spread the word more. So I think it depends. Yeah. Like, who do you know? Yeah. How big is your area? Who's interested really in permanent jewelry that you do know? Do you have a good circle? Like, how are you starting? You know, I think that's important.
And I started from zero.
Literally
ground zero.
That's so cool.
Even my best friends locally, it's not their jam.
Yeah. So I love it. Did you like convert some of them though?
Yes.
I know. Because you know how you get so many people are like, I would never, ever want, I would want to take it off. You know, I would never do that. Like, just try it. That's what I'm saying. Just try it. I can always take it off for you. And I've never had anyone come back and be like, oh yeah, I hate this. Unless you're not telling me, but I've never had anyone do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So your other class, which I feel like is so necessary because again, you're talking again before recording. These are things that are opposite of me. It's like literally, I guess we'd make a good team because you're like, you make up for the stuff I despise, you know, talking about employees and taxes and all that stuff. So let's get into when someone, like you said, should be what type of employee and what is the right fit.
Yeah. I'd like to talk about that at PJS.
Yes.
Really talking about the employee versus contractor relationship.
Yeah.
There are some pretty specific rules and tests, both by the IRS and the Department of Labor, that decide for us when someone should be an employee and should be taxed or paid overtime or compensated in certain ways versus being a contractor when they'd get a 1099. And I know sometimes as a small business, when we're on limited funds, it's so easy to just say, oh, I'll just 1099 you. I'll just pay you $100 for this thing and I'll just 1099 you. But it could really put your business at jeopardy. It's sad because it's not really about controlling the business. It's about protecting the workers more than controlling the business. But the IRS has learned that there might be billions of dollars going unreported just because people aren't classifying their employees correctly. And a huge infusion was made into the IRS to try and capture that. And they are looking specifically at small businesses. If you believe it or not, more employees work for small businesses than big businesses in this country. So it makes that
small business is a big chunk. It's like, you know, when you think small business, I always think of my small business, right? But small businesses are anywhere up to, I forgot, what is the number?
I don't remember exactly. I think it's around 600 employees or something.
Yes. Yeah. It's pretty, I mean, which I think is a large, you know, larger, but it's still considered a small business. So how do you know how to classify if you're taking on an employee, if they're contractor or I guess a W-2 employee, right?
A couple of easy rules are how much control you have over the work, how it's done, when it's done, where it's done, and whether or not that person has the freedom to do that work independently.
Yes.
And whether or not that kind of work is done independently out in the world.
Okay, so let's say an example.
So that's high level.
Yes. If you have somebody you hired on as a welder and they have to be at an event from 11 to 5, what is that?
You've controlled their time. Yes. You've controlled what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You've probably trained them on how to do it. They didn't figure it out on their own and then come to you and say, hey, I'm doing this mm-hmm. freelance welding business.
Right.
Those are some of the factors that would make this person technically an employee.
Yes.
Even if it's just for 4 hours.
Because you have to consider a 1099 is almost like you're hiring, I wouldn't say someone with their own business, but it's an independent contractor.
Yeah.
Meaning like, they are doing their own thing mm-hmm. kind of for you, but on their time, right?
On their time.
They know they have to do a project, let's say, mm-hmm. but they kind of finish it on their own time. I don't know how else to say or yeah. other parameters, like, you know, yeah. Is that true?
That's one of the big tests.
Because I've had employees in the past too, and where it's like, say they did like graphic design thing for me, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah, it's just like, I'm paying to do this particular job. They're doing it kind of when they want. I'm not saying you have to be here from 9 to 1 and work on it in my home, mm-hmm. right? They're like, mm-hmm. it's a job they take on. And like you said, those factors, I didn't train them. That's something that's their skill. And then of course that's like, so that's more of a 1099 position, correct?
Most
like,
of the time, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. If they were to look into you to see, to prove one or the other, they're going to look into those facts. Did they have to be here at a certain time? All the things. That's how they mm-hmm. really do their investigation, I'm assuming, yeah. to find yeah. out, right? Okay.
There's a number of tests. I don't have all of them in front yes. of me. I'm working on my content.
For this yes. yes.
right now, but that's one of them. Yeah, definitely proving. Some people hire admin assistants.
Okay.
That's usually not a 1099 position.
Really?
Even if that person is free to be an admin assistant for someone else, mm-hmm. you have so much control over the work that's being done okay. in that kind of a situation that it's generally not considered a...
Okay. So yeah, I'm assuming in your course, you might have like scenarios so you can mm-hmm. kind of play through your head. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if you already have an employee of some sort, you can kind of figure out, okay, that's me, you know, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because, admin work. So if you're saying if there's too much control, even though you're giving them things to do, mm-hmm. but say, is it matter if you have like parameters on when it needs to be done? Is that part of the control or...
They have to use your tools.
Okay.
They have to use your... filing system, they have to use your, you start walking a fine line because you know that
I VAs. Know. It seems like there's some gray
there's
there.
Virtual assistants.
Yes. That's what I was going to mention VAs. Yeah.
Yeah. Total independent businesses. You might hire a business. Some of them are even overseas. It might be a legal business that you're hiring to do this. And that business hires out mm-hmm. their associates to complete that work that starts walking a gray line.
Okay.
So some of those things can be gray and we'll yes. talk about that.
So much information to learn. Again, sometimes for myself, I know this stuff can be just like boring. I'll say the word, you know,
yeah.
but it's necessary because then you don't want to run into the scenario where you wish you would have known that. And we talked about this too, like just filing and doing sales tax and all those things. I think for the most part, most of us go in not doing it. Like we're not intentionally not doing it, what mm-hmm. we should be doing. Mm-hmm. We just don't know. We don't have the knowledge, mm-hmm. you know, we don't all go into business knowing these things, yeah. you know. And with your yeah. background, you kind of already had that, right?
Like I had that.
You already had that. Like you understood that whole side, right? Going yeah. into everything.
The funny thing is I'm running this business and I don't want to do any of it, but I know it.
Yeah, you know it. So it's like you have to. It's like you're conscious. Like, yes. Well, let's dive into your business a little bit. So okay. What's your price range for your chains?
I have some styles that start out at $65 and those are my sterling silver.
Okay.
And I have chains that go all the way up to $305, mm-hmm. depending on the yep. style people are choosing.
Right.
I carry sterling silver and solid gold. I haven't been carrying gold filled.
Okay.
So.
And I was telling her that was interesting because why did you make that decision to not have gold fill?
It was a personal choice. I don't know. Some of my early research just led me to believe that the original permanent jewelry was gold mm-hmm. as being the ideal standard and yeah. a stronger material for long-term wear.
True.
So that's kind of where I started. And it took me a while to even bring in sterling silver.
Yeah.
So that was a big change in my business around February or March last year.
Okay.
I started adding silver because I knew Some people are allergic to gold.
Yeah.
And wanted the experience. I still, in my heart of hearts, that's just the gold fill is not where I wanted to focus.
That's so awesome. Yeah.
Do you offer a lot of like additional like charms, connectors kind of thing? Like, do you have a lot of variety, or what do you think what is your variety usually for your chains?
I haven't had, my chains. Oh boy. I am sitting right now at around 36 different styles.
Okay. Yeah.
Which feels like a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever done this, but I went to a yarn store in Seattle years ago, and it literally yarn from floor to ceiling. And it was like 20-foot ceilings. They were enormous. And I walked in and I was like, there was an entire wall of all these different varieties of red colors. And I was like, that is too much. Turn around.
Too overwhelming.
I didn't want to have that many styles.
Yep.
But I found adding more styles gave people a lot more options. There was a lot more diversity.
Yeah.
Some people love having choices.
Yes.
So they're there. I have them.
Yes.
I have them. I'd like to dial a few of them back as they sell out. I might replenish them.
Yeah.
So, but I bought a lot to try a different bunch of different things and settling into what I love now.
Where do you find your suppliers? Have you always had these trusted ones you kind of turn to, or are you always trying to find new ones, or?
Both. I have my trusted ones.
Yeah.
So my favorite chains, I know where to get them from each different supplier. And every once in a while, I browse to see what else is out there that I might really like to try. I check out competitors to see what they're offering and make decisions on whether or not that's a style I want to keep or I want to try it or not.
Yeah.
There have been some that I've seen out in the marketplace and like they look so cute and I know they're selling a lot of them.
But it's not my jam.
I'm not sure that that's the right product for my customers. A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I've been touching on a couple of new suppliers that I haven't tried out yet. Mm-hmm. And I've been just exploring those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I know that's a fun part is just kind of keep looking, you know, because even if you have these favorite, it's kind of fun to like look around, you know, and see what's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where do you stay pretty consistent with your business, or do you feel like it's kind of like, I guess like maybe I'm priority. Know the answer to that, but being in business now for a year and a half, you'd say, right? About a year and a half. Have you experienced like slow periods, busier periods? You know,
I've been riding the waves, some ups, some downs. I had several months where I was literally just feeling dread.
Yeah.
The sales had slowed way, way down.
Yeah.
I'll be fair. I think it may have been partially due to an SEO problem on my website.
Okay.
And I may not have noticed what the problem was soon enough.
Oh, no.
So fixed that and things changed. So I think that was it. But yeah, I had a few really, really slow months where I was literally terrified.
Oh, gosh. I know. It's so funny because you, even being in the boutique world prior to this, like we would know when the slow periods were every year, but still, even when you're in it, you have these thoughts of like, maybe it's going to be this all year. What's going on with the economy? Oh my God. Like you think it's not going to go back or bounce. Mm-hmm. And it always does. It always does.
Yeah. And by the time I was in that dip, I was like, I'm only a year in. I don't know what the trends are yet.
Right. Yeah. So want to share what the SEO issue was? Did you have to just tweak? Like, was there something?
Yeah. It's so funny. But I had way back when I first started, I was pricing my gold chains as a per inch.
Okay.
And I created the products on my website and I had hidden the pages. So people couldn't go in and try to check out online with inches of chain. They had to come
right
in. But some scammers found it.
You're kidding.
And we're trying to check out like 1 inch of chain with fraudulent credit cards. And I was getting like 20 transactions a day of these fraudulent transactions. I was canceling them every single time.
Okay.
So I turned off all of my products on my website.
Oh.
And without having those product descriptions on my, not visible, but they were in the website background.
Uh-huh.
So Google couldn't see my descriptions and the number of times I talked about permanent jewelry, permanent chains, permanent bracelets, permanent
right
went way, way down on my website. And I don't think I was showing up as well.
So, okay. So are you checking that stuff out? Is there a source where you check your kind of like the analytics, I guess, or something? Is there a way you can do that?
No, I found it by accident.
Okay.
Because someone wanted me to create a page for a pop-up event that showed all my chain styles and the price of each. Mm-hmm. And I had hidden all my product. So when I created this new page, I suddenly had 34 different versions of permanent jewelry showing up on my website again.
Okay,
and my engagement went way up. So I thought, oh my gosh, I wrecked my SEO when I tried to prevent fraud on my website. So lesson learned.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. That's a good lesson. Because like you said, yeah, those keywords for your products said all the things, right? Permanent, mm-hmm. permanent. Because for me, my products are the non-permanent right now on my website. I don't talk about permanent jewelry, but where I do is just I have my pop-up schedule on there. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where I try to plug that a lot in.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. Like even for somebody who doesn't offer products, but say you have a website, you could even just maybe have the chains displayed, right? They don't have mm-hmm. to be like products you can buy. It can just right. be mm-hmm. where you just are talking about this stuff mm-hmm. more. I mean, the more you talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. Is the more you're going to pop up.
Yeah.
How long does it take to take effect? Like once you change that, is it like immediate with Google or it takes a little bit?
I think I started noticing things within about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it took a minute for Google to rescan my website and
okay.
and figure out there was new information there that was relevant.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Oh my gosh. Speaking of per inch, like do you charge per inch for your chains? Or how do you?
Not anymore.
Okay.
Not anymore. That same business coach that told me to shut off my ads suggested, she said, it's too hard. It's too much friction between mm-hmm. you and the customer
yeah.
for them to come in and say, you charge by the inch, but how much is it going to be for me?
Right. Right.
How much is it going to be for me to get a bracelet?
Yeah.
And I know there are some people in the community that talk about women of size versus mm-hmm. their children or mm-hmm. best friend that might not be of size and they're paying yeah. a different price. So I created level pricing and yeah. my sales went way up.
That's great. I know. I'm a believer in that too. From the beginning, I think like, again, with having the shop and having some lessons kind of, you know, go over to this, it's like you always want to simplify things. You don't want to make things too complicated. You also don't want to create, like you said, like this division of people with that, mm-hmm. right? Like, oh, okay, your wrist is smaller, so you're cheaper. It just feels kind of icky, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know. And like you even said with chains, even if you offer a lot of chains, like trying to present it in a way where it's not overwhelming for people. Because if it's too much, people like don't want a deal, you know? We want to like kind of, mm-hmm. our brains need to be able to take it in and not feel overwhelmed. Because
yeah.
in the end, when you're overwhelmed, you don't feel good. And we all want, mm-hmm. you know, you need to feel good. And so even seeing like maybe all the yarn is like, oh my God, that's amazing. But also I can't deal. I can't deal with this right now. Yeah. It's too much for my mental state.
Yeah, 34 feels like a lot for me and yeah. I have to dial it down. But I did try to make sure, one of the things I did was make sure that I have a couple of styles that are available in white, rose, and yellow mm-hmm. gold, mm-hmm. plus sterling silver.
Yeah.
So that way, if people come in as a group and they have different tastes, they can choose what they like.
Yes.
And still match if they want to.
Yes.
So that was one thing I tried to do with certain styles.
Hey there. Did you know that I offer a permanent jewelry membership? It's everything you need in order to scale and elevate your permanent jewelry business. Marketing scripts, Canva templates, photo, video, supplier list, support, business expert masterclasses, bonus trainings, constant discount on Goldilink's permanent jewelry supplies, and trust me, there's even more. It is updated monthly and it costs less per month than what your customer pays for one permanent bracelet. I hope to see you in there. If you're interested and want to find out more information, go to goldilinksociety.com. And now back to the show. What have you found has been the best way to like maybe get a return customer or what, I don't know, what customer service like advice do you have that you feel like you're really strong with?
I'm still working on that
yeah.
in my business. And mm-hmm. sometimes I find that people came in, they celebrated this moment and they're done.
Yeah.
But that's not always the case.
Yeah.
I've had a couple people catch my emails mm-hmm. In my email list, a special offer on a certain chain. Like there was 1 month I did a random chain every single day was going to be $10 off.
Oh, that's cool. Like, yeah.
They weren't going to know until they came in, but they had to come in to find out.
Oh, that's fun.
I think I did that in December. Let's see what else. I've had some people bring back someone else.
Mm-hmm.
They got a chain from me and they came back with someone else as a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done birthdays. People say, we love this. Thank you for the experience. We're yeah. definitely going to be back.
Yeah.
I've had... Yeah, it's been hit or miss whether yeah. or not people come back because there's something about permanent jewelry. Some people are one and done and some people are like, this True. Is like tattoos. I want more.
Exactly. Do you have an email newsletter or anything when they go to your website where they can sign up?
Yeah, I collect email addresses. I actually have a policies form that I have people acknowledge before.
Okay.
I do their bracelets. And okay. when I do that, I ask if I have permission to email them and I add them to my list that way.
Oh, cool.
So
you do have policy, meaning is like a waiver, basically is a kind of the same thing?
Kind of a waiver, but it's more like what to expect.
Okay.
permanent jewelry can still break.
Yes.
Permanent jewelry, all sales are final. Acknowledge this before we go into the transaction.
Right.
And people are free to decline, but they're also free to sign up for my list if they want to learn more.
How do you feel about doing permanent jewelry on any 18 and under, I guess, or children?
I've gone back and forth on this.
I know. I think most
people. As far as teens go, I mean, if they can go into Target and buy a necklace and put it on, this is no different, really. So I haven't had any major qualms. I love it when people call and say, can my teenager get it? And I say, yeah.
Yes.
Can I bring my teenager in? Will you do it? Yes, I can do that.
Yeah.
I've used a lot more discretion for younger ages.
So it's kind of like 12 and under, you kind of just use your judgment.
I've been very careful. Like,
yeah.
I've done friends.
People you know, and like, can I use your judgment? You know,
it was my judgment.
Exactly.
And just knowing the quality of my chains, just being conscious of that, knowing that I haven't had any concerns about the plated and the quality metals that are underneath. So I have a little bit different sentiment about that than some other people do.
I know. I think that's really it is like, that's a whole nother discussion, but really, really knowing where you're getting your metal from. It's so funny. The whole thing with when we talking a lot in the groups, I know that's come up and it was, you know, for children, it's more like they said, the consistency of the metal. It's not so much you're putting a permanent piece on them. It's the, you know, whether or not it's going
materials.
Exactly. So it's going to react and things to be aware of. So yeah, it's smart to really know where you're buying from and know that it's legit, I guess, without naming names, right?
Like,
without naming places, we just know. Do you want to share kind of like, what do you feel like has been your, if you want to share numbers, but is your best month of like doing permanent jewelry? Do you have a best month?
I do. My best month was a little over $15,000.
Man, that's amazing. Yeah. That's awesome. And so is that more or less, again, how many pop-ups are you doing right? Because I know you're taking a lot and you have a place. So, you know, keeps wanting to say brick and mortar, which essentially it is. But like, how many pop-ups would you say are you doing or events like a month?
It varies.
Yeah.
Pop-ups are not my jam.
Yeah.
I do have some physical limitations, so they're a bit of a grind for
me. Yeah.
But I have been selective. I've done some really amazing ones, and I'm so glad. And I've done repeat events at places that have been really good for me.
Yeah.
And I've done collaborations with people in the community who I know really well and have built positive relationships with. And I'm not opposed to it. But I probably don't do as much as some of people do.
And honestly, that also goes to show you, I think a lot of people, again, I mean, you can do this business how you want to. And that's the beauty of it, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if you want to have a place like that where people come to you, because honestly, for me, it's almost, again, the opposite. It's like, I take appointments in my home, but it's not something that is like, I advertise all that much. You know what I mean? It's something that I do here and there. Yeah. But really, for me, it's pop-ups and parties. Like, I don't, it's kind of the opposite, you know? Yeah. So some people might love that. And again, like you, might not, you know, depending on to what your lifestyle is like. Do you want to be gone in the evenings on weekends for doing like parties, or you want to be able to do that during the day? Are you doing parties? Is that kind of like something you do a lot, though?
I haven't done a lot of them, but I'm available for those.
Okay.
I advertise them.
Yeah.
And sometimes you find there are people that are just like, I did all the Pampered Chef parties back when I was younger. I don't want to have any more parties.
Yes.
I'll just come to you.
Sure. And that's what's great, that you have a place that people, too, can just bring their crowd to you. You know what I mean? They don't have to have a host. You know, they can just host it at your place.
But absolutely. I've done a number of great parties, holiday parties, Mother's Day parties, birthday parties. I love it when people just celebrate the moment. So I'm more than happy to do it anytime anyone wants it in their space.
Yeah.
I totally have all the resources.
And that's what shows you too. Cause again, I know talking about like location, of course, for brick and mortar is so important, but it depends too. You're like, you're in a co-working. So you are sharing space. Like it's not only your place where you have the big signs on the building of you, right? Like, do you even have any signage outside? And they don't really do that, right?
No.
Yeah.
Sometimes on the weekends when it's quiet and there isn't a lot of people directing inside the building, I'll put a chalkboard sign out.
Oh, cool.
I'll find my entrance.
Okay. But honestly, where you are, because I was there, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, there's not a lot of walking traffic. It's busy traffic street, but not really walking traffic, right? So that's what's so cool, again, is showing what's possible, because, again, why it's so crucial, like Google. Because obviously, if you didn't have that, how would people find you? You know what I mean? Other than, of course, if you went the social route. But, like, someone has to find you somehow, especially when you're in a situation like that. But I also, the benefit of being in co-working, possibly, is collabing with the people or people knowing about you within there, right? And saying, hey, I know
Mm-hmm. I know a permanent jeweler. She's in my space, you know, she's in the same co-working, like kind of things like that.
It happens from time to time.
Yeah.
I haven't got a lot of business,
but yeah.
I get a lot of relationship building.
Yes.
That's super fun.
Yes.
So I get that in my community, in my office space.
Yeah.
Without having to stand around all day.
Right. And also, obviously, if you have your own brick and mortar, there's a whole different expense and build, mm-hmm. all the things that come into play for that. When really mm-hmm. you can, you know, be in a co-working and kind of just make it work for, mm-hmm. get started minimally versus how big is your space?
Square footage wise, I can pop up anywhere pretty much in the building right now.
Oh,
right now I'm kind of in a little nook that I would probably say might be 100 square feet. It's just a little mm-hmm. perfect cutout for a display, a table, 4 chairs, and it's just a little corner right by a window. It's super sweet. And
that's awesome.
I have a little bit of privacy with my customers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Comfy.
Yeah,
I like it. Okay, so want to share what your worst month of permanent jewelry has been?
About $2,000.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think I had some slower months when I was first starting, mm-hmm. but after I really got the ball rolling,
yeah.
like when my SEO tanked, it was like more like $2,000, and I was like, oh.
Man, that really shows yeah. too. Like what part of the year was that when that happened for you?
September.
Okay. And that's actually, yeah, that's not like a slow typically time of year. We talk about the J months. People talk yeah. about the J months being the slow. January, people have been really expressing how, you know, retail's been eh. But mm-hmm. honestly, September, yeah, that shows your SEO really does matter.
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
That's crazy.
I couldn't figure out in the communities online, yes. permanent jewelry people were like, I'm so busy. And I'm like, I'm so dead. I'm scared.
So the moral of this whole conversation is get that Google profile, because honestly, I know I don't have one. I know I don't. I have to do that. So I do not have one. So lesson learned. What are you looking forward to with your permanent jewelry business this year in 2024? Like, is there things you're looking forward to or things that you want to like, I don't want to say tweak, but like things that you want to evolve or things you're looking forward to?
I'd like to evolve my setup a little bit. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm using tables that are provided for me.
Yeah.
And they're working. They're totally functional. But I'd like to find a little bit of a style in my nook that's
yeah.
a bit more cohesive okay. and that's portable. So
yeah.
I can have this same look and feel inside that space or at mm-hmm. a private party or awesome.
Yeah.
at an event.
Yeah, I feel like a year and a half later, I'm still working on what works for me.
Thank you for saying that.
Oh my gosh, completely. And I mean, even my chain display, I've changed that. Like, I think this is the fourth one.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like I'm in a good place, but I'm actually like now, I just, the other night, I'm like, I'm drawing out a new display to make because I'm like, I, you know, speaking of having so many selections, as you know, I have a ton of chain.
You okay? do.
And, you know, and again, it's me though. So what's so beautiful about this is like your business is a reflection of you. Mm-hmm. Branding is you. Okay. Mm-hmm. That is what makes your business, right? We can't be like anyone else. Like, oh, she has a bunch of shades. I'm going to get a bunch of shades. But that's not your vibe. That's not your vibe. You know,
yeah.
just like Goldfill. Like, if you don't have Goldfill, don't have Goldfill. You know, right. it just doesn't feel right to you. But for me, the more the merrier, you know,
because yeah.
even with me making now my own chains, I'm just like, keep thinking of all these things, you know,
yeah,
and it's like,
yeah.
and that's not also going to be for everybody. Someone might want to come to you who's like, A, I want more solid and gold. And also, I don't want all those choices. Like, mm-hmm. I get too overwhelmed. So anyway, I'm thinking about doing a different display. And yeah, I'm like, okay, you know, because I do a lot of pop-ups. I'm like, this isn't working anymore. I need to have, so I'm doing the same thing. I'm just like, figuring it out. You're always figuring it out.
Here I am thinking everyone's got it figured out.
No, and I don't think so. Even with my shop, like I'd always want to move it around and I'd be happy. And then I'm like, nope, now I want to change. Nope, this isn't working now. It's like you're constantly, you know, I don't know if you're constantly, you're ever done. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're always wanting to level up anyway.
Yeah.
But so are you happy with your location? You feel like you're going to stay at that location though?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you use Argan?
100%.
Okay. Was there ever a time you didn't?
Only by accident. And I was like, I felt so guilty.
Yes. I mean, what is your opinion on that, I guess, with argon? Because there's plenty of people that don't use it.
I know it will weld, but I also know I've had people come to me and they've had their chains welded.
Mm-hmm.
But when they came to me to get them removed or adjusted or something, I literally just snapped the jump ring open and I thought, that must have been one without argon.
Uh-huh.
But I can really tell a difference. I think
yeah.
it's smoother. I can't see mm-hmm. the seam. It just mm-hmm. creates that blend. It really, it's like
yeah.
a good pore filler. Like really.
Yes. just, it's so true. I agree. Because like, I'm not going to lie, I don't always use it. Yeah. And it, because also too, at the beginning when I started, and again, there wasn't as much out there, right? Because I got started around the same time you did.
Mm-hmm.
There was plenty even things I listened to where people were legit, like, it's not necessary. And it was mm-hmm. like, you know, this is kind of these educational videos mm-hmm. on YouTube. And it's like, oh, okay. You know, you kind of take that. But then when you actually educate yourself and really, especially if you're offering solid gold, but even if you're not, gold feels still quality. Like if you're mm-hmm. offering and you're, people are going to spend $80, $90 on a, you know, you want it to be quality too, right? Mm-hmm. So I totally, mm-hmm. yeah. But I think it's a habit of getting into, and it's scary. Some people like dealing with any type of like gas and they think it's going to like, you know, what could happen? Is it going to like blow up? You know, yeah. like, so honestly, I think it's one of those things like just getting educated about, like even yeah. same as metals. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing you at PJX. I'm looking forward to it. So, I feel like I have so much, I learned so much right now, actually. So I'm really excited. Is there anything else you want to share? Where can we find you? Like if you have a website, I mean, anywhere you can, people want to check you out.
I would say, I don't know what the sentiment is in the community, but if we permanent jewelry people follow other permanent jewelry businesses, yeah. we're going to start seeing their advertisements and their ad spend is going to go down. So I tend to tell people if they want to follow me personally, you can follow me at Angelique Fernlund. I think it's just Angelique Fernlund, Fernlund. Follow me personally.
Yeah.
And okay. I mean, I don't love having businesses follow my business page.
Yes.
If we're in the same industry.
Yes.
Because it messes with the algorithm.
Good to know. See, I didn't know that either. So have you done any Google ads though? Actually, speaking of ads, when you said ads, you were meant before Facebook and Facebook
Instagram. And Instagram.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So have you tried Google ads?
I haven't. I was working with someone right inside Google mm-hmm. on setting the, they were trying to create a conversion event when somebody booked an event with me
mm-hmm.
and they were in the middle of that and Google had these mass layoffs and that just went to the wayside. So,
okay.
So I got dropped.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, I was just wondering because all that is obviously just mm-hmm. even SEO and everything you're talking about. So it has nothing to do with any Google ads or anything. So that's awesome. Okay, we're going to learn a ton from you at PJX. So thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Well, how do you feel? I hope you found value in today's episode and you walk away feeling inspired. I would love to hear from you. Let's link up. You can find me on Instagram at GoldieLink Society. You can find out more about our permanent jewelry membership at GoldieLinkSociety.com. Our handmade permanent jewelry supplies of connectors, chain, and more at GoldieLinkSupplies.com. Okay, I will see you next time. Have a golden day.